And I remember my wife and I were watching something funny, and I was slouched on the couch, super tired, and my hands were on my belly. And we were watching something funny, and I laughed so hard, and I thought, holy crap, those are my abs. My abs are there. I can't see them yet, but I can feel them. And I've never, ever have done that
That's
before.
pretty awesome.
Work, work, and go and earn my pay. Hard work, work. Put the boots on and lace them up.
All right, all right, all right. Carnivore Soldier coming at you from Austin, Texas. Today we've got another interview for the Carnivore Way podcast. And this is a fellow Texan, Carlos Flores. And I'm going to bring him in here and let him introduce himself. He's from the same area I am, the Austin, Texas area. Let's bring him in and bring him to the stage. Hey, Carlos, good morning.
Good morning there. How are you?
Great. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I guess we could just start off. If you could just introduce yourself, tell us about what you're all about, what you do, where you're from, and maybe some of your carnivore story, that'd be great.
Okay. Hi. Good morning. My name is Carlos. I am a practicing physical therapist here in Austin, Texas. Born in New York in 1980. And I moved down here with my then girlfriend, my wife now, in 2007. And we've been here ever since. And so for the past 44 years, I've been overweight. It was just a matter of how overweight. Some years better than others. As a child, had a belly. As a teen, some of it melted away. Being a teenage boy, very active, still eating whatever I wanted. But the weight was coming off, hit my growth spurts, put on some muscle. And then in my mid-teens, 15, 16 years old, I packed on a lot of weight. And during high school, and lost a few when I went to college, and typically up and down through my teens and 20s, I will lose 10, gain 10, lose 15, gain 15, which was pretty easy back in those days, right? I would run a couple miles, cut back on the sugar I was drinking or eating, and weight would just slide off of me. And sleep was fine, everything was fine for my 20s and for a little while there. And then my up and downs, instead of coming as a straight line, it was trending upwards in my late 20s and my 30s. During this time, I've had asthma ever since I was an infant, and trying to cut calories and move more, of course. I knew sugar was a problem. I've always known that. And so instead of abstaining from it completely, in my 20s, I was able to moderate for months at a time. So my favorite drink in my 20s wasn't alcohol, it wasn't beer, it was orange juice. So I knew that for every cup of orange juice I had to add in another cup of water. So little tricks like that helped me out tremendously to lose the weight and keep the weight off for about, let's say, 6, 8 months out of the year. Then Thanksgiving and Halloween would come, Christmas would come, my birthday would come around.
Right.
Cakes and
Yeah.
candy and hamburgers and such. Being in New York, pizza and wings. So it was easy in my 20s, relatively easy to pack on the weight, but then lose that same weight. My 30s came around and not so easy. So not only did my fat burning ability slow down, but my ability to moderate my sugar also significantly decreased. In my 20s, I was able to go 6 to 8 months cutting the sugar by at least 1%, and I thought I did very well. In my 30s, I went from months to a couple of months tops, in which I would feel better. Back pain would go away, brain fog would go away, and feel pretty good. And then that started to decrease my ability to moderate. And then in my 40s, it just wasn't there. So to back up a bit, so I lost a few pounds before my wedding in 2010. Not sustainable. I was working with a trainer, and he had me on a very high protein, very low carb, very low fat diet for about 3 months. And I felt okay. Energy was kind of low. I looked great, and my ability to go to the bathroom wasn't there. That was very difficult. And this is before I knew anything about physiology. This was when I was an accountant back then, so I didn't know how the body worked really. I didn't know that decreasing the fat back then was doing more harm than good. And of course, if you looked at my wedding day, and then a week later, like at the end of my honeymoon, you were looking at two different people. When I just went on my honeymoon, it was beer, burgers, more juice, fries, just, you know, wine. We went to Napa Valley in California. For those who don't know, that's a wine country. It's and just packed down the pounds very fast. And so, and that was, it wasn't easy to do that, to lose that weight. So I dreaded doing it again.
Yeah.
And so I just told myself, okay, well, I'll start tomorrow. And then 2012, I ate a vegan diet from that January until that June. And I did very well because I was eating this standard American diet 2 years before that, but my entire life before that. So going from processed foods, I remember that night I had a bag of Whataburger and I just threw it away. And I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And then I next day made a some oatmeal, strawberries, lunch, had some beans, some salad. And so on for 5 to 6 months. And I did pretty well. So I felt good for the first 3 or 4 months. I looked pretty good with my clothes on. I would never take my shirt off because I was really flabby. I lost a lot of muscle by doing that. And it got to the point where it just wasn't serving me well. And so I stopped. And also, I hate vegetables. So it wasn't another diet that was not easy, but it worked. Well, I thought it worked. So it did, because my goal back then was very superficial. It was, I want to get down to 180, and I almost made it. I went back on the standard American diet after that. I went back on meat, chicken, and steak. Definitely, of course, more carb, more fat than protein, because, you know, red meat's bad for you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have protein, have fish and chicken breasts.
Lean chicken, right.
Correct. So that was 2012. From 2012 till last year, January, you know, tried moderating my sugar. I tried not eating so much junk food. I knew that wasn't good for you, but I made the mistake of telling myself I was going to, whatever diet I could think of, South Beach diet, if you remember that, vegan, vegetarianism, Atkins, I would put it in my head, I'm going to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
And of course, what's always on the horizon but never shows up, right? It's tomorrow. And then I got into the habit of binging before tomorrow, because this is the last time I was going to have Whataburger. This was the last time I was going to have Dairy Queen. So let me just pack it in, enjoy myself, because tomorrow my diet's going to start. And just absolute mental gymnastics every weekend, right? Because...
Sounds like an addict.
It was. And it took me a while. And so that was a great epiphany I had the summer of 2022. I was going home from work, and I was working at a skilled nursing facility. So what we used to call a nursing home. And Larry, people in wheelchairs, stuck in bed. Why? Dementia, diabetes, heart disease, and just... Heavily medicated dementia. And I knew it. I knew what was causing it, right? These people are having packaged cookies and chips from the vending machine. They did a great job of keeping alcohol off the premises. Oh, by the way, here's a can of soda and a piece of cake with your fruit cups and your tiny piece of chicken with your meals. So I saw this and I knew it was my future. And it was my future.
Yeah.
It was that cliff I saw in the horizon, my foot on the gas, and I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to stop because while I was thinking this, Larry, on my way home, I'm drinking a can of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Because it made me feel good. It was a long, stressful day. Most days were long and very stressful. People were great. The patients were great. The residents were fantastic. The staff was top notch. It's just a hard job, no matter.
Sure. It's not a good environment to be in every day. It's tough. I got to break in and ask you some questions real quick. I'm going to make a comment first that you did talk about carbohydrates and sugar being a problem, but I think we have a double whammy and you touched about this on being vegan. When you get rid of processed foods, you're getting rid of all the trans fats, the seed oils. And that is, I think when you add that with the sugar, that's our real problem. I think if you did the sugar independently of all these trans fats and all these seed oils, it wouldn't be nearly as long-term detrimental. Not that it's good, but it's like more of a short-term poison and addiction. The addiction is still strong, but I think the long-term damage, I was just reading about it the other day, that these seed oils, these omega-6, linoleic acid has a 680-day half-life in your body. So it means that the seed oils we've been eating with all these fried foods, going to Whataburger, right, getting fries, and wherever you go, whatever you eat that's fried, or any packaged protein bars that have seed oils in them, or chips that have seed oils in them, those are going to stay with you for at least 6 years once you stop taking it and continue to damage your mitochondria. So that is a huge problem. So like even you and I, like we've been carnivore for over a year now, right?
Yeah.
But we still have a long road to get that linoleic acid out of our system. We're still detoxifying and the mitochondria is still being damaged and the cell walls and the DNA are still being damaged by this poison. But you said several times this was unsustainable. Several times you said on this is any diet you tried in the past, including veganism, obviously. What made it unsustainable to you?
It was the calling of the convenience of the junk food. It'll take me 5 minutes to walk to Whataburger right now. There's one around the corner from where I live. And so to go there before work, I'm stressed before I go to work because I know what type of day I'm going to have. Or it was that stressful or more so on the way home, and I would pick a bag up of fries and a humongous Dr. Pepper, of course. So it was really the convenience. And nowadays, you have our apps where you can have Chick-fil-A waiting for you at your front door.
Oh, wow.
When you get home from work. So it really was a convenience factor. And I'm going home. I'm driving by Sonic. I'm driving by Whataburger, Pizza Hut. Yeah. And just things that are just calling your name once you're addicted to that food, once you grew up on that food. And my parents did their best. They, whenever I wanted Burger King or McDonald's, they always said no. They relented sometimes. But, once I got older, I started working. I had my own pocket change, and I would go myself. And that was just a vicious cycle when I was a kid, and it just never stopped. I would take breaks in my 20s and 30s. I would take breaks from those foods. But they're always there. And they're going to be there for a while. And just I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to stop, and every diet I tried worked for a little while. I wasn't happy on them. So for years and years and years, I said three things. I just want three things. I want a diet that will leave me full, a diet that I like, and a diet that has some good energy behind it. And none of the previous diets did that. They maybe hit on two of those points, mostly just one, but that's why it was unsustainable. I knew I needed at least those three covered. And the day I started all this, I was going to that same job. And before that, I knew I had to change. I was so desperate. I threw my ice cream in the garbage.
And that's a big step.
Yeah, yeah.
In the garbage, good. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I just said, just meal prep for one day. Just one day. Because I'm reading here and there, if you meal prep for the week, you're golden. And I said, I don't want to do that. That's just too much work. I'm going to burn my entire Sunday prepping. One day. Just do one day. So I did that. So, of course, chicken breasts in a crock pot, no butter, some salt, and some roasted broccoli. Salt, no butter, of course, and no olive oil. I said, let's just do high protein, low fat, low carb. Okay. I did it. I packed it up. Went to work, proud of myself. I said, well, skip breakfast so you can make sure you finish this for your lunch. You skip breakfast. And so I did that. And of course, morning was stressful. Lunchtime came, opened up my container with my chicken breasts and broccoli. And I said these words, Larry. I said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
This is horrible. I know it's good for me, quote unquote, but I can't do this. I have an entire afternoon waiting for me. And I'm just going to go back to the vending machine if I eat this because that's not going to satiate me, and I don't like it. I know I'm supposed to, Larry. I'm supposed to like this food. I just don't. So my time was running out for my lunch hour. I ran to the nearest barbecue joint, Smokey Joe's, and I said, okay, let's go get some barbecue and rethink this thing. But talking to myself, you cannot have soda, bread, or the sauce. You can have whatever else you want. You cannot have those three things. I said, okay, compromise, let's do it, let's go. And then I did. I told the employee there, give me a pound of your fattiest brisket. Give me some broccoli covered in cheddar cheese and then a glass of water. And that was it. I said, okay, eat this, go back to work, think about dinner later. We'll figure it out later. Just do this. You have no sugar, there's no carbs, no soda. Just do it, get back to work. And I did. I ate all the brisket. I ate so much so, the broccoli, I never touched the broccoli. I said, I don't want that. I'll have my vegetables later. And finished my water, went back to work. And then while I was at work, I'm thinking, wow, I'm not tired. I'm not lethargic. I'm not grumpy. I'm not moody. Holy cow, I feel really good. I feel fantastic. And I said, yeah, it's because you didn't have any sugar. And I stopped there. I said, okay, well, of course you feel really well. You didn't have any sugar. You're not crashing. Okay. So on the way home, still feeling good. And then my wife was out of town, so I had no one to cook for. And so that was typically a fast food night because it was just convenient. And I lied on my couch, and then I realized I feel pretty good. I don't want to take a nap. Bedtime is around 10, 10:30. So I can make it. Just keep yourself busy. My wife's not here. You know, just keep yourself busy. Figure out what you want for dinner. Oh, I'm not hungry. And then I said, okay. I'm lying on the couch. I have my phone in my hand. Open up YouTube. And Larry, no joke, Dave Max channel pops up on my YouTube. I have no idea how.
If you find value in my content and like my channel, please like and subscribe and click the notification bell so you see my new videos as soon as they come out. Also, please share this and other videos on social media, especially to veterans and first responders, who, as I say in many of my videos, are often suffering in silence. You never know who's hurting, and a video like this might just turn someone around. So please go ahead and share it, and thanks for your viewership and your support.
It is. So I said, okay. And pulled up Dave Mack. He says, talking about the residual symptoms of a stroke that he had in the 90s when he was a kid. His limp is gone. His knee pain is gone. His belly's shrinking. And he's sleeping so much better by only eating meat and cheese and water. And that's it. And I just thought, there's no way.
Right.
There's no way he's doing this. What's his angle? What is he selling? He wasn't selling a damn thing.
Right.
Of course, I watched another video of him interviewing someone else, same results. Then, of course, Barry came up, Chafee.
Mm-hmm. They're MDs, so now you have like, okay, I've got medical doctors telling me this now, right?
Yeah, and I understood the physiology. I don't understand the biochemistry yet, but I understood the physiology and such and how it works. And of course, my favorite videos are just the civilians. You know, the
stories.
Yeah, and I just couldn't believe it. So I said, okay, tomorrow I'll go back to barbecue during lunch, get some more brisket and see how I feel. And
yeah, I got to say, in Texas, we are blessed that we can just go get barbecue on any corner and just get fatty brisket. It's very normal. And if you're not in Texas, I'm sorry, you need to move here or open up a barbecue shop.
The best barbecue in town is at a grocery store. How about that?
H-E-B.
I said, you know, that's where we met last time.
Yeah.
And that was January of last year. And of course, Larry, of course, it was all about the weight, right? It was all about what the scale says. What I noticed before I lost an ounce of weight, that every morning for months, I was waking up with really bad back pain. And I thought it was my belly pulling my back, my lumbar to an extension position for hours at a time. And I thought that that was a cause. So I was about 250 back then when I started this. So I'd prop up my belly sleeping on my side so that it would give some relief to my back. And before I lost an inch, before I lost an ounce of weight, my back pain was gone within 3 days.
Yeah. It's so crazy how much stuff goes away. It's obviously the inflammation, because I had so many injuries that just went away. Like my back injury that I had from the 90s that I couldn't lift anymore. Now I'm doing deadlifts like I was in college, and it's crazy. There's no pain. I started out doing deadlifts really light because I was afraid I would re-injure it.
Yeah,
there's no need to be afraid anymore. I can just lift like I used to. It's amazing.
Yeah. And so now you're taking yourself out of a vicious circle of junk food and feeling miserable, and then having more junk food to make you feel better for 20, 30 minutes tops.
Right.
Now I was removing myself from that and putting myself into the great circle of feeling better, sleeping better, realizing that this food, fatty meats, and dairy once in a while, eggs, of course, it was satiating me. I liked it, and it was giving me fantastic energy. The three tenets that I was looking for years, and the carnivore does it.
three plus, because then you found all the other stuff, right? Because those are the three you're looking for,
yeah,
and they're there in abundance. But now you probably find other stuff.
And absolutely. And I think most people on this way of life can say that, yes, it was the weight that was my primary objective. You know,
right.
I had to accomplish a certain number at the scale. And then once the ball gets rolling, it's distant second, maybe even third after the pain, after the depression is gone. After the
mental, yes.
Yeah. And it's thinking the weight was just a symptom of your overall health. And then this allows you with a clear mind and feeling better to take a big step back and say, oh, the weight was just a symptom.
Right.
And all these other issues were there compounding it, making the weight worse. But it was never a fundamental problem the way eating the proper food is and what it can do to help accomplish losing weight amongst many, many other things.
Yeah. And the weight's huge. It's the big sexy thing because everyone's chasing that.
Yeah.
And because it's the way you look, it's the way you feel about yourself, all that stuff. But like you said, once that weight starts coming off, there's so many other things. I say, you know, come for the weight loss, stay for the non-scale victories, because that's where everything is really at. And for me, I felt like more like a man once I lost that weight. I felt more masculine, like I could handle manly duties better, being physical, just being proud in my physique. I didn't have that for years. And it's when it comes back, it's like, wow, I thought it was gone forever. I thought that was just, I was going to be an old man that was just like on the decline. And you're pretty young. You're in your 40s, right? 44,
yeah,
you said?
44, yeah.
So that's still pretty young. I wish I would have found it in my 40s, because I remember I went to Warnosser Candidate School when I was 45. And Warnosser Candidate School is highly physical. It's a tough school. Mm-hmm. And I was the oldest guy in the class, I think. And most of the guys were in their 20s, 22, 23. They were pilots coming in. I was this old guy who came back in, and I remember doing keto to get ready for my school. And I did regain some of that feeling, that physical athleticism, the masculinity feel. But that was not sustainable for me. Keto wasn't, because I was like managing my addiction. I was still eating 20 grams to 40 grams of carbs a day. And that, to me now looking at it, is like giving an alcoholic one shot of whiskey a day and saying that's all you can drink. And trying to manage alcoholism that way just doesn't work. You have to abstain completely if you're an alcoholic. And for me, I had to.
Yeah. And it's funny when people ask me, family, friends who are close, they ask me, are you ever going to have a piece of chocolate cake again? Are you going to have ice cream? And my favorite dessert of all time is my mom's cheesecake. It's perfection.
And a real New York cheesecake, huh?
I don't know how she does it. To this day, I come close, but never close enough. But people ask me, what about mom's cheesecake? And I tell them, I have all that stuff whenever I want. Never.
Yeah.
I never want that stuff. And when it does come up and I want a piece, I think I'll be okay because of what's waiting for me on the other side. Probably a rough night's sleep, but what do I do to get back on plan? I'm going to have bacon and eggs. That's fantastic. I'm totally okay with that. There's no more counting calories, no more trying to run 4 or 5 miles. So that the stress of getting back on the diet, that stress is absolutely gone. And that's a humongous plus when you're on this side of the fence and when you've adapted to this way of life, that when I do have a beer and when I do have maybe some ice cream, I will be okay. If that day ever comes, I'll be okay.
Yeah. And like I said, I think the sugar, I used to think sugar was the culprit. Sugar is one of the culprits, but it's not the major one. The major player is the seed oils. So as long as you're keeping that out, I mean, if you slip up on something else, like I had alcohol this weekend with a veteran that came over and we had some bourbon at my place, but this bottle of bourbon I've had since Thanksgiving. It was given me as a gift on Thanksgiving and it's not done yet. And it's like, man, that would not have been the case before this way of eating. And I've read that these scientists are pairing sugars, salts, and the seed oils to get that bliss point to make you addicted. And that's why French fries, when I grew up, were three ingredients. There were salt, potatoes, and lard. That was always in a French fry. Now, McDonald's has 19 ingredients in their French fries. And that's because they're designing them to be addictive. And same with Chick-fil-A and these companies, 66 to 100 ingredients in a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Ridiculous, right? But this is because they're designing food to make it addictive. And I think when you cut the seed oils out, if you do expose a little bit of sugar, now some people can't do any, which I respect, but if you did, it's probably not the end of the world. Like you said, next day, eat eggs and bacon, really fatty breakfast, and then just drive on like nothing happened. And a lot of people can get away with that. I wouldn't recommend doing that or making a habit, but it can, it's much easier to manage, I think, once you've been on, especially after a year.
Sure, absolutely. And my mom isn't using 20 ingredients. She's using five tops for that dessert.
Yeah, my sister actually, for Thanksgiving, we had a carnivore Thanksgiving. She made a keto cheesecake. So it was sugar-free, had had some sweetened, maybe allulose or something, and I don't know what she used. And then the only thing that was, she had some almond flour crust. That's the only thing that was like plant-based. Everything else is pretty much, and the sweetener, everything else is just, I guess, cream cheese and whipping cream or whatever they put in there. I don't know what they put in there. I don't know what she did, but it was pretty clean. And I ate some of that, man. It was really good. Probably not up to your mom's level of good, but it tasted fantastic. It was a great holiday treat that I don't do every day, but it was fantastic for a holiday.
Oh yeah, and if you keep it in line of what we're doing, I think we'll be okay.
Let me ask you, how has your perception of your job changed since you work with people all the time? You're looking through a different lens now, right? When you look at
people. Totally different lens.
So tell me what that's like, being a physical therapist, right?
Yes, and you feel helpless. You feel I'm no longer there at that environment.
Okay.
But I'm with the clinics where I am now, it's the same issue. Not to that large of an extent. They're not in a wheelchair. They're not bed bound.
It's not 100%. It's like 90%, right?
Yeah. But by they're on their way. On their way. I know what their future holds. So teach them how to move, but teach them how what's bothering them and how to fix it with us and then at home. But then I just tell them, you want to stay away from pro-inflammatory foods. And I had a patient a couple of months ago in his 80s, really good shape. He cycled all the time until his hip really started bothering him. And he said that was his main goal, to get back to his bike. And I said, okay. And 80 years old there. And I asked him, I was like, well, what is your breakfast, lunch, and dinner look like? Can you explain to me the main ingredients? And he tells me, he goes, you know what? You are the first healthcare practitioner to ever ask me what I eat.
Wow.
My doctor or nurses, they've never asked me what I eat. And I'm assuming that he's in pretty good shape. He's slim, good leg muscles, of course, because he cycles all the time. Cognitively, he was perfectly fine. And I'm assuming his blood work was fine, or else they would have asked him. But his hip was so inflamed that I had to explain to him there are certain foods that we take and that we intake we think were perfectly fine, which normally would be, but in someone's state of an inflammatory state, maybe at best they're not helping, and at worst they're exacerbating the situation. So that's pretty much as far as I can go into. I can't tell them what to eat, and I tell them, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a dietitian, but here's what this food does to us on a normal day. And hear how it makes things worse when we're hurting. And then,
do you tell them what kind of foods at the point, like vegetable oils, sugar, that kind of stuff, in general terms?
In general terms, and tell them it's a physiological fact that too much sugar causes glycation, too much high fructose corn syrup causes fructation, and of course the big one is that we don't need carbs.
Yeah,
we don't. If you're running a 100-mile marathon, maybe that's not my world. But someone who's cycling every day in his 80s, trying to get back his quality of life, get back to his exercise routine and his habits, and then you and I working our jobs, we don't need carbs.
Right.
And that blows people's mind. And most of them don't believe me. And I don't argue with them. I just let them know that if we're healthy and our livers are functioning properly, then we get all the glucose we need from our liver.
Right.
And tell them how ketones work and how our brain prefers a mix of both. And that I tell them I haven't had a vegetable since January of last year. So over almost 500 days, I haven't had a vegetable and I haven't had a piece of fruit, nor bread, nor rice. And they look at me and they say, but you look so healthy.
Like, well, yeah,
I am the healthiest I've ever been. Yeah. And just, I mean, and it goes to show you that the beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, sometimes heavy cream with my coffee, not every day. I said, it's all I need. And I'm pretty sure, according to physiology, that's all any of us need.
And when you talk about getting the carbohydrates from your liver, you're talking about gluconeogenesis, right?
Correct.
That we just basically, our body knows to make just the right amount of carbohydrates. It's amazing to let us do what we need to do. It's almost like we were designed or evolved that way. Almost, right?
Yeah, almost. Like, how about that? We're here after hundreds of thousands of years for a reason.
Yeah, you think about like you just looked at that food when you were eating foods that you didn't like. You're like, I can't do this. If our ancestors who were just going off instinct had to survive off food they hated, we would have a small population, if any, right? We'd be like, oh, I can't eat. I don't want to eat. I mean, they would die, right? So it's got to be, you know, they have sexual reproduction gives you pleasure and eating foods that you like. You know, that's how our ancestors became a big population and became a successful species. So it's just like logic. Like there's no way we had to eat garbage or man-made food because it didn't exist to be healthy, or supplement vitamins because they didn't exist. They had to be in your diet of what you were eating.
Or count calories.
Or count calories, right? Get like a pawful or a handful. Okay, I'm going to eat this much of this meat and that's it. And then I'm going to restrict. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's never happened.
And with the older patients in their 60s and 70s, they've seen it. They've seen what's happened to us in the past 40 years.
Yeah.
When I said, what do you think that is? They go, I don't know, too much fast food. Maybe. But once we were told about the food pyramid and it was presented to us, whole grains and then brown rice in the bottom, fruits and vegetables and eggs, and then lean meats, the third in the lean meats, you know, steak maybe once a week and butter sparingly.
Low cholesterol and vegetable oils instead of fat, animal fat. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay. So I tell them, and what you and I have learned that, okay, we listened and we complied. Okay, our consumption of red meat went down. Our consumption of dairy and saturated fats went down. Okay, fantastic. What has gone up? I don't have to tell you this. What has gone up? Everything, all of our modern metabolic illnesses have increased.
Yep.
And including, in addition to the prescription of medications to help us with our cholesterol.
Yep.
So all this is going up and our healthcare costs have gone up. And I'm thinking, there's no way to prove that. I understand. But just stepping back and looking at it as a logical adult, it's like, okay, something happened there. There has to be a relationship between what we were told to do, what we did, and how we are doing 40 years later.
Yeah, there's direct correlation. And correlation does not make causation, but there has to be correlation for there to be causation, right? So if there is causation, there will be correlation. So you can look at it that way and say, obviously we've introduced seed oils, we've introduced sugar, we've introduced refined wheats. And since we did, all Western diseases have skyrocketed, all. And it's not that we're detecting it better now, that we weren't detecting Alzheimer's or that people weren't living, because now people are in their 40s and 50s are getting Alzheimer's. That never happened. You can't say, we just didn't detect it. No, sorry, that's not going to fly. Kids that are 8 years old and have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, that was adult. Well, actually, they called it adult onset diabetes, I think, back in the day. And now it's non-fatty liver disease or something. I don't know what it is, or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
But it was, so type 2 diabetes was not something that ever happened in kids. And now it's all over the place. Not because they're playing games. Not happening. That's not it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, a little bit of irony in that regards, now I do play my PlayStation. And now when I play, my attention is so much broader and I'm able to play longer and better because I'm so much healthier.
What do you play? What game? What do you like to play?
Call of Duty.
Okay, first person shooters. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Mostly, but other games as well. And when people ask And it's socially, when I tell people that I'm most of my life I've been overweight, it was just a matter of how bad it was. And they can't believe it. They look at me and they say, you look like you've been healthy all your life. I go, no, the state I'm in, this is still new to me.
Yeah, right.
Still not used to it. I look in the mirror in the bathroom and I go, whoa, what happened to you? To this day, almost.
I know. I feel my face. When I put my hand to my face and I feel my jawline, it's like, wow. I do that several times a day because it was so inflamed.
Yeah.
But now when I do this, I can feel my jaw, and I couldn't. I mean, it's weird, right?
Another thing is, so the size I am now, and the condition I'm in now, I reached back at Halloween. So from January to end of October, I did most of my work. And I remember my wife and I were watching something funny, and I was slouched on the couch, super tired, and my hands were on my belly. And we were watching something funny, and I laughed so hard. And I thought, holy crap, those are my abs. My abs are there. I can't see them yet, but I can feel them. And I've never, ever have done that before.
That's pretty awesome.
Couldn't believe it. And Thanksgiving came around, Christmas came around, you know, a little bit more on the food, still protein and fats, but a little bit more than usual. But now they're about to make their debut probably in the next month or so. And I cannot believe it. At 44.
Yeah.
I could never, ever in a million years think that something like that would happen. Never a priority, never a goal to have abs showing, but they're right there. And it's a nice icing on the cake, maybe. But it was never a goal. And it's one of those things, a non-scale victory, you never thought it would happen. And once it did happen, you go, hey, this is pretty cool.
So can you go into some of the non-scale victories and the mental and physical just sure. that you've experienced and share that with us and how your wife might notice a difference too, not just how you noticed?
Her first comment to me was about not too far in, maybe 6 weeks or 2 months in. She goes, you're aging backwards. my eyes cleared up. The bags under my eyes were gone. Posture was getting better because my weight was no longer bringing me down. And moving easier. So, of course, sleeping better. Was no longer snoring. She says, I've gone to snoring to now she can. Now she used to check on me if I was alive because I was so quiet, making sure I was still breathing. So then my attitude improved because I felt so much better. My crankiness was gone. Stress is always there. This diet is not going to do anything about external factors. But your ability to deal with them is just tremendously increased and improved so that you can take that 5 seconds to respond more productively, more properly to whatever negative stress is coming your way, whatever problem presents itself. And so as far as my attitude, that's gone pretty well. Anxiety and depression have gone way down. I can't remember the last time I was really anxious about anything. And I can't remember the last time I was depressed about anything. Bad crap happens. But in that situation, you're able to take a step back, allow yourself to be upset, allow yourself to be cranky about that. But then look at it, move forward, move on, and look at, okay, how can I avoid that in the future? What could I have done differently? Really just being more really productive, more healthy about it. No longer dwelling. You mentioned something a few minutes ago about, I wish I would have discovered this in my 40s when you went back to training. 2 years ago, I would have said the exact same thing every day. That would have been my mantra. I wish I would discover this by my 20s or my 30s. I don't. I don't do that at all. I'm thinking and I'm grateful that I found it at all. And
right.
I'm feeling good now. And if anything, I can look back in my 20s and 30s and my teens when I was very unhealthy. I can look back at it and say, hey, you did the best you could. You're good now. So that means the future is just going to get better. I'm only going to improve X, Y, Z because I am so much healthier and in a better place. My gums stopped bleeding when I brushed and when I flossed.
Yep.
Headaches were gone. Back pain was gone, as I mentioned before. Digestive pains were gone because as much junk food as you eat, that never goes down smoothly. But you don't care because your diet's going to start tomorrow. That's why it was no big deal.
How about allergies? Do you have allergies before or do you still have allergies?
That was never an issue, really. But I had one, my first January here, cedar fever hit me really
bad. You're lucky that you don't have allergies then, yeah.
Yes, I did luck out on that. But I made the mistake of feeling fantastic about 3 or 4 months in, and I stopped taking my prednisone for my asthma, thinking I was good. I don't need any medication. I'm healed. Screw the inhaler. I'm done with it. And I was that was a pretty terrible mistake, very ignorant, because that week I didn't sleep at all because I couldn't breathe at night. So my asthma is still there. And since I've had it since I was 2 months old, I'm okay. It's better. It is a lot better, but it's still there. And so if that takes another 2 or 5 years, that's fine. I'm in no rush. I've had it for over 40 years. It's going to do what it's going to do. If everything else is fine and that's still there, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And so, and then going back into my 20s and 30s of how I was able to moderate my intake of sugar and junk food, I was running a lot. We're lifting weights here and there, but I was running a lot. So my blood pressure was always good. My sugar was always good. But if anyone who watches Dr. Bickman, Professor Bickman, glucose isn't the story, it's the insulin. So I have no idea what my fasting insulin was doing while my glucose was good. It was probably pretty terrible, I'm going to guess. So in 2022, everything started getting worse very fast. My blood pressure climbed, A1C climbed, fasting glucose climbed, everything. Oh, but my PA said, just watch your diet, exercise more. You're okay because your cholesterol is fine. And I believed her. I said, okay, I'm okay, but I feel terrible. I know I have to stop. How do I do it? And so from summer of 2022 till January of 2023, I was really working on it in the background. How can I stop it? I know I have to. I just don't know how. And that one fateful lunch of having nothing but a fatty brisket,
yeah,
really opened my eyes to that, to how I can lose weight, quote unquote. But then the non-scale victories, as you say, they just kept piling up on each other, and to where I couldn't stop. And the compliments were nice from friends and family. Of course, they were concerned, my sure. mom especially. And I just said, Mom, I was on my way to being type 2 diabetic, therefore on my way to heart disease or stroke or both, and pretty much dementia. So now I'm miles away from that. And so cholesterol is high. I'm okay with that because it's, from what I'm reading and from what Dr. Berry teaches us, it's not even a top 10 risk factor.
Right.
And smoking, drinking, you know.
It's actually protective. High cholesterol can be protective in a lot of issues. So like stroke.
Absolutely.
Heart disease, so.
I mean, if that is the building block of our cells.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So your wife, now do you have a family besides your wife, or do you have kids or anything?
No, just have a cat and a dog in the background here.
Okay.
So if you see me distracted because the cat's jumping.
I saw the cat running around. So your wife, has she embraced any of this wave eating, or do you guys eat together the same kind of food, or do you just do whole food, or what's?
Yeah, so more whole foods. So thank you for bringing that up. That reminded me of a very important epiphany I had while I was putting my plan together in 2022. So, okay, I used to be embarrassed about it. Now I can laugh about it. Larry, my go-to every day was a Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream mixed with peanut butter M&Ms. And so it was just, it made my teeth hurt. It was so sweet, but I didn't care. I just wanted it. And, you know, diet starts tomorrow. And so instead of bringing the small bag of peanut butter M&Ms, I would bring just whatever the largest bag I could find. I brought that home and put in our pantry. And then my wife would sneak some in. No, that's fine. There's plenty of them. Go ahead. And then one day she said, can you please stop bringing the big bags of peanut butter M&Ms and just have a small one just for you? Why? And she goes, because I can't stop. I can't help myself if they're there. If I see them, I'm going to reach for a bag, and I don't want to do that. And I thought, then in my mind, I thought, you know, you dick, your behavior is affecting the person you care about the most in this world, negatively affecting. So you need to stop. You need to figure out what's going on and how to stop it. She's doing more keto. She's doing great. She's looking fantastic. So because I know, and what helps, I'm not bringing home ice cream. I'm not bringing home candy. If she wants a bottle of wine, I'll bring it home for her. We don't drink that much. We really did. If she wants a small sundae from Sonic, which hasn't happened, I can't remember the last time it happened. She gives me a text, like, hey, if you're on your way home, if you pass by Sonic, which I do every day, can you bring me home a little sundae? And that's very rare, but that's the only time that type of food is in this house. And so she has benefited by not having that food around, not tempting her to eat it.
Yeah.
So it has helped her, and she... Of course, she was concerned about what I was doing in the beginning. But then she sees the benefits and how I'm doing. I took a CAC score, CAC scan last year, and I told her it's a perfect zero. And so she's benefiting as well. And she sees the improvements it's making. And she has questions, I answer them. And she has questions about, you know, why does fat not make us fat?
Right.
You know, and I said,
because we have fat phobia.
Yeah.
And we've been programmed that way.
Tell my sister and I tell my niece, her daughter, that it's my opinion. Larry, you may disagree. But if you look at the old movies when you were younger and I was a child, Monster Squad, I loved Goonies, you know, the fat kid was kind of funny.
Yeah. You know,
Stand By Me.
Odd.
Yeah. And it was funny. It was odd. He was always a good guy, sometimes a bad guy. But you never saw fat girls in movies. They were never a character. And then you look at the commercials when I was a child, it was always geared to the low-fat, non-fat foods from cereal companies and such. They were always geared towards the women. Women are always in the commercials. And I noticed that once I was sick and I stayed home watching TV, really boring TV with soap operas and game shows.
Yeah.
They were all diet-related, fat-free, and the women were always in the commercials.
Mm.
So I tell my wife, I tell my sister, I tell my mom, I tell my niece that you women were targeted since you were girls. Boys can eat whatever they want. If we're fat, we're funny. We'll build some muscle in the gym.
Yeah.
By the time we're 16 years old, we're fine. But you girls cannot have an ounce of it, because that is unacceptable. And I don't, I might be totally wrong here, but from my memories and from what I'm seeing today, that unfortunately women are targeted. So I try to explain to her that the more fat we have from animals, the less of the seed oils and artificial processed garbage we're going to have, because it satiates us and helps us with our hormones, especially if you're a woman. And when I do talk to people about this, I think, in my opinion, that in our way of eating, I think women benefit the most.
Yeah, because they need it the most and because they've neglected the animal fats the most. Yeah, so let's jump to your greatest challenges with carnivore. You've had some challenges, I'm sure. What have they been?
Yeah, just maybe the social aspect. People think you're crazy. They think you don't know what you're talking about. And I never push on anybody. I always answer the questions. Always, always, always. So someone I haven't seen in a couple of years, they talk to my wife and ask, is Carlos okay? Is he sick? He's lost so much weight. He looks good, but he's lost so much weight so fast. Is he okay? A couple other friends asked me if I had gastric bypass surgery or if I was on those weight loss medications.
Wow. Ozempic and all that. Yeah. Wow.
And he goes, no, he just eats meat. And so concern in the beginning, some jabs here and there. And as far as humor goes from my family, they'll serve me a big plate of pancakes jokingly. And then they see more improvements, further improvements in my behavior, attitude, energy, physical looks. And then the questions come, well, how are you able to do this? How can you not have any vegetables? I don't like vegetables. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't need them. And if I develop or what have you because of a vitamin deficiency, I'll address it then. That's not my priority. It's not my priority right now. And then just very respectful. I've never butted heads with anybody. They ask me questions and I answer them as best as I can. Give them your video, I'll give them Barry's video, your channels and such. It's okay, if you have questions, these videos aren't very long. When they talk to people, veterans and normal people, civilians, it's pretty fascinating stories, but we all have our stories and the benefits, no matter what the ailment is, the benefits are always there. And I kind of just say, hey, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to do what I'm doing. And then I think that the sweetest piece of irony amongst this whole thing, in my opinion, is that they ask me, how can you do this for so long? It's so restrictive.
Yeah.
And I go, no, I'm free. I am free of the confusion, of the noise, of do this and do that, counting these calories, eating fruit before you work out, just all that noise is gone. Because when I go to the grocery store, I am no longer justifying buying ice cream because I'm not going to have fruit for dinner or as a side for dinner. I'm not going to buy potato chips because I'm not going to have any carbs during my lunch. So that's going to be my carbs. and the healthy potato chips, whatever the hell that means, I would justify all of it and be very stressed about it. And then see my grocery bill climb and climb and climb because of the fruits and vegetables I'm going to buy. If I buy $50 worth, $40 of those fruits and vegetables are going in the garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to them because I had my junk food. So now I go to the grocery store, and if it's just for me, if I'm shopping just for me, I go get my eggs, get my bacon and steaks, and leave. Oh, and by the way, I am walking. The closest store to me is a Randall's, and I always have to walk through the cereal aisle to get to the meats, and I have to walk through the potato chip aisle to get to the eggs. And that stuff doesn't faze me anymore.
Yeah, you don't even see it as food, right? You see it as like, no. I don't even know what it is. It's like, what is Franken food?
Yeah, and I do tell people that from Chick-fil-A to Kellogg's to McDonald's, they don't have the best chefs in the world. They have the best chemists in the world.
That's right. And engineered foods.
Just to get your money. And that's it. Bottom line.
So lastly, before we close up, what's the most unexpected thing you experienced with carnivore? What's the thing that blew you away the most if you were to look back on your journey?
It's the fact that it's so easy. It's when a few people have seen me after my most of my transition, they look at me and they go, wow, I'm so proud of you. Good. I'm so proud of you. You must have worked so hard. And it wasn't difficult at all. It really wasn't. The cravings came and went in the first 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's another common question, that how to deal with the cravings. I talked to a butcher yesterday, giving me my ribeyes. and I said, I just had bacon at the ready.
That's what I did. Same thing.
On my counter, if I wanted to go to Randall's and get ice cream, I had my 3 or 4 pieces of bacon, then I can get ice cream. And I never wanted it. So as long as my deal with myself in the first 2 or 3 weeks was that you can have your Chick-fil-A, you can go get your ice cream only after you eat your bacon, your steaks, and your eggs, if they're there. You finish those, you can go and get whatever the hell you want. And I never wanted anything because I was so full and because I was feeling really good. It was, the first 2 weeks were okay. They weren't very, very difficult. They weren't easy. But now I look back at it. This is the easiest thing I've ever done.
Right.
And I couldn't taper down my carbs. I couldn't. You said you were managing an addiction. I couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I got to rip the Band-Aid off. I have to go all in just to try it. I gave myself a day. Then the next day it became easier. And then the next day it became easier. And I look back at it now, talking to you now, it's been the easiest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I like to say it's hard the first couple of weeks, but it's simple. And then it becomes super easy. That's all the only way I can explain it.
You're an autopilot. Yeah.
It is. So in closing, I'm just going to give you the floor. What would you say for someone who's interested, that's watching this video, that hasn't done it, but they're interested in the experience, the benefits? Like, how would you get started?
I would say, have you reached the point where you're honest with yourself? Are you able to moderate your sugar? Are you addicted? What are your weaknesses? And what are your habits? And if you can look in the future, what do you see as your barriers? Either your speed bumps or your hurdles, and then tailor your plan to that. I knew that I would want soda, Dr. Pepper, and fast food after work. I knew I did. So I just had food with me all the time. Extra food. Or I told myself, you have to go home and eat, then go get your junk food if you still want it. So just be honest with yourself. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in our addiction. It's not to a large extent, it's not our fault. Then we've been programmed since we were children to buy a certain type of food and to stay away from other certain foods. So just be honest with yourself and just take it really just a day at a time. And if you slip up and have a chocolate bar after you had beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, and chicken, and some dairy, some cheeses, that's fine. If you were better than yesterday, you were on the right track. And just please, by all means, please don't be perfect. No, just be better.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a process of becoming a carnivore. Like when you start, like when I started, I was snacking a lot because my body was used, my body's hunger signals were completely broken when I started. So I was just always snacking, and half the time it was just emotional snacking, I think. And The other half of the time was just I didn't understand my hunger signals because they were broken. So I would always think I was hungry when I really wasn't. And then but that clarity comes later, right? After you've been I'd have a pound of bacon fried up every day. That's what I did. And I put it in a bag in the fridge and I'd take it with me in the car. And that way I would just eat bacon if I had that hunger thing come up. And then after the first month, that went away. I did not fry a pound of bacon every day after that first month.
Yeah.
And now I do it every now and then. I'll just get up. If I want a snack, I'll fry some bacon or something or put some in the fridge and get it. And that's still a great snack, but it changes. Everything changes when your hunger signals get working. You can trust them. You can trust your body and just eat when you're hungry.
That's a beautiful point. That was a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. Your signals are so jacked up right now that I'm saying it's easy, but if you're a week or two or a month into it and you go, when does the easy part come? It's coming. Your body is adjusting. It's fixing itself. And that is not going to be an easy process. But if you just give it the right tools, supplies, the new foundation will be laid and you will start feeling a lot better if you can stick with it.
Yeah, that's great, man. Well, listen, Carlos, thanks for joining me this morning. It's been great. I'm going to drop you out and say goodbye, but you can stick around. We'll chat a little bit afterwards if you have time. And then I'm just going to say goodbye to the folks and we'll continue. Have a great day, man.
Okay. Have a good day. Take it easy. Thank you.
All right. That was a great discussion. Another excellent The Carnivore Way podcast interview with Carlos. And man, he just had so much to share. It was fantastic. Another fellow Texan. Love meeting these guys. We met at actually one of my meetups in person. And he just had such a great story and some great pictures of his before and after. You wouldn't believe it. You'll probably see it in the video or you'll see it on the thumbnail. But anyway, all I got to say, guys, is thanks for joining. Stay strong and overcome. Carnivore Soldier out.